How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 6 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Head to normantranscript.com to get all your Thunder coverage. You can find my blog there, Thunder Road. That's under the sports tab on the site. Of course, we're just going to talk more about Durant today because that's what we do. More coverage on the blog there also. And here to talk about it from Real GM, from Sporting News, from the Dunked On podcast, which you should give a listen to if you don't already listen to it, Danny LaRue. Danny, how you holding up?
I'm doing well, not getting much sleep, but that's just the way it is this time of year for me and for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's about midnight right now. Hey, happy July 4th.
Yeah.
So it's 12:04 on the East Coast, not quite July 4th for you. You're in, are you home right now on the West Coast?
I am home on the West Coast for now.
And then I'll see you in Vegas, I assume.
Yes.
Anyway, how much sleep have you gotten the last 3 days of free agency?
Since July 1st started on the East Coast, I would say that I've gotten about 9 hours total.
Yeah, I believe it. We can't sleep. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, this is my first year really on a beat covering it. I've been covering the NBA the last few years, but this is my first year really on a beat covering free agency. And it's amazing. Like, even when I know I have to go to sleep and when I think logically that I can go to sleep because it's 3 a.m, I'm so stressed out about how if I'm going to go to sleep, something is going to break. And you just have this worst case scenario in your mind. Something's going to break and you're not going to get it on time. You're going to need an email from your editor about how you didn't get it up on time. And you don't get a good sleep. You wake up every 45 minutes because you're so stressed out about it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it is for you in particular, more so than me, because you have a beat, and the guy who we're probably going to talk about for the most part is the centerpiece of your beat, is that you do have those obligations, which fortunately I do not, but that fear of missing out is still always there.
Total free agency FOMO. It's so real. It's so real. It's amazing. Like I was telling you before we came on, like I wanted to sleep late. I'm in Orlando for summer league right now. And I wanted to sleep late this morning. And because I just hadn't been sleeping, but I was so nervous about missing Durant news or Dion Waiters news or something else. It didn't even have to be a signing, just some kind of news that I have to get up on the site or on the blog or something. And so I set my alarm for 7, and then I set it for 7:20, and then I set it for 7:40, and then for 8 and 8:20 and so on. And I just kept snoozing for 20 minutes. And I basically did that for 4 hours. And that was me kind of sleeping late, even though I was basically up for the entire time, like just kind of lying there and being insanely lazy and unproductive, but also not sleeping. It was a great time.
Is there a little part of you that's bitter with Kevin Durant for not saying that he was going to make his decision tomorrow, to make this decision on the 4th of July, like 12 hours ago? There's a little part of me that's bitter about it. I understand, and he can do whatever he wants, but it would have been nice.
Well, you know what's funny? It's that, like, it seems like it's so drawn out, right? Like, NBA free agency is, there's so much drama and so much stuff has gone down in the last 72 hours that it seems like it's so drawn out, but it's been 3 days. Like, if you get a job offer, they will give you three. It's not even a job offer. Like, at the time that you have your first job interview, only getting, you know, 48 hours after the interview. And that's what these meetings are. They're interviews. They're more interviews for the teams than they are interviews for the actual employee in this case, which makes them unconventional, but they're interviews. If you have 48 hours after the interview to make your decision on a job, that's super quick to make your decision on a job, especially when it's somewhere in another city and you'd be moving and changing your life to go there. Like, it's totally reasonable to take more than 3 days, but doesn't it seem like it's been so long?
Well, have you thought about how the system would change if they actually enforced the tampering rules? Like, it would be incredible. It would probably take like 2 weeks longer just because there would be so much more information that would have to pass between people.
Mm-hmm. It would be closer to baseball.
Yeah.
Where you don't see guys sign until January sometimes.
And I think it's a good thing for the league. I understand why they do it that way. And functionally, it's just so hard to prohibit. And so a lot of information has already been transmitted before July 1st. And while I'm sure that there's a part of Adam Silver's heart that is bothered by the idea of, you know, like, the one for me was Al-Farouq Aminu being the first signing last year when he was signing with a new team and he did it, like, I think it was, like, 12-10 Eastern. It's like, okay, okay now. Like, you know something was there. But the side effect the other way is worse. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, and I remember this. I wrote about it for, I think it was for the Sporting News, about Rondo. So last year, so the Kings made this trade. Where they dumped draft picks to get cap space, and it felt like they were missing on guys forever. And I think Rondo signed on the third.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like those days feel so long, and I'm sure it's that way to the players too, just because they have a lot going on until they decide. But it's so short in the scope of everything.
Well, it's funny also, like, how different the NBA's environment right now than it was even when Al-Farouq Aminu signed, right? Like, it's. Al-Farouq Aminu signed. He was the first signing last year. Like you said, it was like a few minutes after midnight. Like, he signed like right away with Portland. And he signed, what was his contract? $30 million over 4 years, I think it was.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was actually not even, it was like a decreasing contract, $30 million for over 4 years. And everyone freaked out. How could Al-Farouq Aminu get that much money, right? And Dwight Powell just got $7 million over than Al-Farouq Aminu. Like, it is amazing how much our perspective on these contracts has to change. Obviously, that's just raw numbers, and this is not how you evaluate that now. But it's just amazing how much our actual perspective has to change over really just like a one-year span.
Yeah, and it's certainly, like, I talked about this a little bit with Nate on Dunked on the July 1st one, is that he and I have spent a lot of the last year basically explaining, and this has kind of been my thing on the Sporting News, is explaining to people how crazy this stretch was going to be specifically this year. And I don't feel like we did it enough justice, because people are still, also there are a lot of people who of course don't listen to us, but hopefully they do later. But there's a sticker shock with it, because you have to recalibrate the way you think about everything, top to bottom. Like, I mean, Rajon Rondo signed for 2 years, $28 million. So that's basically 14 a year. And I believe he was at 10 mil last year, and that's pretty similar. Like, that's not, you know, it's not like, oh, he got this big pay bump relative to the cap. I think it's about the same.
Yeah, it is very interesting looking at these contracts, and we're seeing teams spend more in general too, if only because, you know, the cap is jumping up a ton, but not everyone's a free agent, and you still have those rookie contracts bringing numbers down, and the exceptions aren't rising proportionally. So these contracts are actually rising a little bit more proportional to the cap than what some other ones are. It's been a very interesting offseason. We're going to see some more. Let's talk about the main guy. Let's talk about the guy everyone wants to talk about. Thunder fans might hate me for having you on as a guest right now, because you wrote, I think it was the first Kevin Durant to the Warriors piece that at least was written by like a real guy on the internet, as opposed to all the holograms writing on the internet. It wasn't about how Durant was going to go there, but it was more just about how Golden State could make it happen. You wrote it at the beginning of the season. Obviously, the Warriors now, you know, there have been plenty of reports. It's down to the Warriors and the Thunder. Royce Young from ESPN reported that specifically earlier Monday evening. What do you think is going to end up happening there with the Warriors, and how do you see the Warriors trying to pull that off?
So part of the reason I was intrigued by the idea, and I actually wrote about it for the first time back in March of last year, and I adapted that concept for the Sporting News, and of course it got a lot of excellent editing and got fine-tuned and all that, and the numbers got clarified a lot in that 6 months or 8 months or whatever. So what the Warriors have, and this is something that changed for me when LeBron signed with Miami, it changed the way I thought about free agency, is there a specific argument that a team can make that is better than any other team's argument on that point? And the Warriors' argument is the best possible team. So as great as Oklahoma City is, they push the Warriors to the brink. The Warriors with Kevin Durant are better than the Thunder with Kevin Durant, because the Warriors have more pieces that they could put around him. The Thunder are an excellent team. They can win a championship. But that Warriors team has the potential to be something special. The problem with that is that it's a hard argument to win. You know, like, you basically need that to be what he cares about most. And we don't know that right now. Like, as much as some people are theorizing on various things, we won't know what he's valuing until it happens. So that was the logic behind it for me. And I also wrote a similar piece later on about the Spurs, because they could make an interesting argument along the same lines.
So let's go through the moves. Why don't you tell me what are the moves that the Warriors have to make? Because the difference between the Warriors and Oklahoma City in general is that Oklahoma City can just bring them back and throw them on the same roster that they have right now. When Golden State has to, you know, clear out, they have to clear, you know, renounce, they have to get rid of Barnes, they have to get rid of Azili, they have to probably get rid of Bogut. That's it, right? With Golden State,
I'll lay it out. So you take the three all-stars the Warriors have, Curry, Green, and Thompson, and you say, okay, they're in no matter what. So they're baked into the cake. Outside of that, then they have to make a decision. They can only retain one of Iguodala, Bogut, and Barnes. The general assumption is that that would be Andre Iguodala, considering he was in the pitch meeting and the other two weren't. But so they have to do that. With Bogut, that's a trade. With Barnes, it could be a sign-in trade or renouncing him, probably just renouncing him. Then, or not matching, whatever. Then with the other big sacrifice is, in all likelihood, it would also require them giving up one of Sean Livingston or Festus Ezeli. And that is a very divisive topic within Warriors media and Warriors fandom about which one of those guys would be a more logical cut. But that's really what the situation would be.
Which one do you think? That's something I've thought about myself. Because Livingston is someone who's so... I don't think he's underappreciated by people who really know basketball. I think he's properly appreciated by kind of the basketball diehards. I think he's probably properly appreciated by Warriors fans in general. I don't know if the casual fan or the national fan really appreciates Livingston for as important he is for that team. He's important for them on defense as a versatile defender. He can step in and distribute the ball. He can guard multiple positions. I mean, because he's such a big point guard and he sees over the defense on the other end. At the same time, if you're getting rid of Bogut, having a center is pretty important too. What's your thought on Livingston Azili?
So there are two big considerations that have to be part of it. One is really the only piece the Warriors would have outside of that they could bring in is what's called the room exception. So that's a little over $2 million. So one of the pieces of intel that Bob Myers and their front office should have is who would be interested in coming to you for the room mid-level if Durant comes. So my instinct is that while I think it's better long-term to have Azili just because he's a center, there are a lot of centers on the market that might take a discount, and the Warriors in this playoff should not be playing their centers very much. So I think that you can get away with that. And Livingston is really important, like, to the guys. The other big factor to that is Azili's a restricted free agent, and what kind of an offer sheet he can get is also important, because if he gets like $15-16 million a year, the Warriors wouldn't want to pay it. So then you just go, fine, we'll let him go and we'll figure it out. So those are the two main considerations, and they don't have to make that decision immediately. They would just have to make it by the time Durant signs.
Who do you think's getting more, Azili or Biyombo, who got 4 for $70 million?
Oh, I think Biyombo's getting more because he's more proven and he doesn't have the injury history that Azili does. Like, Azili basically has played half of each of the last two seasons and missed the season before. And he's older than Biyombo, as crazy as that. Well, probably older than Biyombo, and so.
Wow,
so,
that was a snarky probably.
But so all of that is there. I think Azili, when he's on, is a great fit for this team, and some of the things he's bad at, he can get better at. But also Livingston, when you think about how the rotations and all that in the playoffs, like if they can keep Curry, Thompson, Durant, Iguodala, and Livingston. And basically, you can give all of your minutes 1 to 3, and even some at the 4, a lot at the 4, to those guys. You wouldn't need anything else. So then you figure out the center spot. You do what you're going to do there. But, you know, a lot of it does depend on the situation on the ground. We'll just have to see how that works out.
Right. And Durant is someone who, I mean, he would work so well on both sides of the ball. I mean, with that team, obviously, Durant works well everywhere. He's Kevin Durant. He's an amazing fit. But just even skill wise, I mean, there are great players, top five players you could plug into that team, and they just wouldn't work as seamlessly with Golden State, you know, on both ends of the ball with, you know, his ability to change defenders, his ability to move on the defensive end, his ability to even help on the back line, which we saw against Golden State in that series just defensively with the way he was a rim protector. I mean, he basically defended similarly to the way Draymond defends in that series. And like that is something that would just be so scary if he were to go to Golden State.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that also, if you want to talk about it, that is also part of the issue that I was a little bit disturbed by the Oladipo trade, as much as on a talent basis and a team security basis. I think it just makes the Thunder less scary to a team like the Warriors or the Cavs, that they don't have this, just like, I called it the Megadeth lineup, but just this idea of where you have spacing at every position, but your defense is also terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing with Draymond. Like, people talk about how, oh, you just got to go small, and that's how you can space the floor, and you can kind of work against anybody, and you pull out a center, and you make him unplayable, and yada, yada, yada. But the reason that Golden State works so well is because Draymond can guard the five. I mean, there aren't many guys who can actually – so who are basically built like threes who can actually guard the five, and Draymond can actually do that. So that's a unique situation. That's why that lineup works so well. I mean, I know you know that. I'm kind of more just ranting against the people who maybe don't, and just kind of say things. But let's talk about the Thunder, because we're giving a lot of credit to Golden State, and I do think the Thunder are still the favorites in this. Everyone who I talk to, and I'm not talking about, you know, friends from home, but, you know, people who are in and around the league who I talk to, people keep saying, you know, Golden State's a rising candidate, but everyone still seems to think he's going back to the Thunder, probably on that 1-1 deal, which is a 1-year deal, player option for the second year. I wrote a column Monday morning, which will actually run in the Tuesday morning paper in the edition of the Norman transcript, just about the risks of him taking a 1-year deal. If he were to come back to Oklahoma City on that, it's not just injuries. There are also possibilities with, you know, the labor agreement. There can be, you know, an opt out and a lockout next year. And if that's the case, you know, there could be details change with the basketball related income, which could change the cap. The owners could push for smoothing in 2017, which could, you know, change how much money Durant could get in that sense. So there is some amount of risk there. I'm just wondering if you're Kevin Durant, and obviously you're projecting your own values and priorities in this one, but if you're Kevin Durant, what deal are you signing?
I'm signing a 1+1 with the Thunder. And
you're very quick to say that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've talked about it. I've written about it. I've thought about it. I've thought about Kevin Durant a lot. Like I think about the players who shaped the league just a ridiculous amount. And the reason why is partially financial flexibility, just because the idea that he can make a lot more money that way, even if the CBA shakes differently, like depending on how things work out. I would say my assumption is that the more likely thing is that max contracts go up as opposed to going down, while both are possible. And the injury risk possibility isn't as much there for him unless it's catastrophic, because teams will pay him. He is that good. You know, like just like Stephen Curry. If Stephen Curry got hurt on the day before free agency next summer, doesn't matter. Warriors maximum, somebody else is maxing out. That's just the way that the world is now with those guys. So you have that. Then the second part is, whether he wants to leave or not, it gives him a lot more information to decide what he's doing next. So whether that is figuring out how much better or worse other teams are, or figuring out with the Thunder, he has a great chance to win a championship if he stays in Oklahoma City next year. I mean, I'm not sure that I would necessarily make them the favorites. It'll depend on what the Warriors do if he stays, but it's really close. And they played two of the best games I've ever seen any team play. The two games when I was in Oklahoma City for 3 and 4 of that Western Conference Finals. Like, they were incredible in those games. And so you have to see that. So you give it another year. And then if Westbrook leaves, then I would probably leave too, just because your chances of winning a championship is low. And you just get to figure that out, and you get to make all those decisions with the most information possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think also something else, which is, I think indecision in Kevin Durant's mind in some ways is almost a good thing for the Thunder for now.
Maybe it's a not great a good thing for the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not a good thing in the long term, because if that indecision continues into next year, then that's a problem. But if he is unsure, if he wants to go, he wants to go, he's gone. That's obviously not good. But if he's genuinely unsure, if he's ambivalent, if he's thinking, I love playing in Oklahoma City, but I would also love to play for Golden State, I don't know what to do. At some point, he's got to make up his mind. And if he's unsure, then probably the safest decision is just sign a 1-year deal. If he knows he's in a place where he knows he's not going to be miserable, in a place where he's already got a home, in a place where he knows he likes living, in a place for a team he knows he likes playing, with a coach he knows he likes. I mean, you take the things that are known, especially if the known entities are ones that you know that you enjoy. So that probably makes that 1-year deal even more likely. Add on the fact that he can make a lot more money doing that. And it just seems to me like that's probably the most logical outcome of all this.
There's a third piece, which is really important here, which is the idea that of the best suitors, all of them will be positioned to get him next year as well. Like, he's good enough that he will factor into their planning, but it's just true. The Warriors will be able to clear space for Durant if he wants to go next year. The Celtics, obviously the Thunder will have space because they will have his bird rights. And also other teams will open up depending on how things work out. You know, some of the teams with interesting young players, you know, like, I don't think he's going to go to Minnesota, but he'll know a lot more about Minnesota if he waits a year. So the downside risk of, like, we talked about FOMO at the very beginning of this podcast. Durant's FOMO doesn't really exist because even if he wanted to go to the Warriors, he can do that next year. Like, he doesn't have to do that. The optics of it might change. Let's say the Warriors win the title next year or the Thunder win the title next year. Like, both of those would really change the optics of Durant leaving, but it will still be on the table because he's that good.
Right. And like we said, in a worst case scenario for him, if they go and, you know, he wants to leave, it's another extra year of where he's somewhere where he's already happy. I think sometimes when we talk about free agency, we forget about the human aspect of it. Agreed. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important, and it's true later on, too. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, I think, is a great example of this, and people have lamented him not using his no trade or whatever like that. And it's like, he has a wife. I believe he has kids. He's lived in New York for a while now. He has a lot of opportunities and infrastructure in his own life, and he has the ability to ensure that certainty. So it's fine for him to do that.
Yeah, completely. I mean, look, how many people – I think that's also another thing. I mean, I don't think people – realize how difficult it is to get traded, even if you know it's coming. I mean, you're basically being forced to move to another city and start another life. And it's one thing if you're just a single guy or a single woman living in, you know, wherever you're living, and then you end up having forced to be transferred or moved or traded or whatever it is. That's a pain. But when you have a family, or you're married, you have kids, whatever it is, like, that's a struggle. That's a problem. You have to uproot your entire life when that happens. And if you have the power not to do that, especially if you brought up Melo, Melo's wife does not want to leave New York. Lala likes New York. And when you have a wife who doesn't want to go and you have kids who go to a good school in Chelsea, like, you're not going to just uproot that just because the team's not winning as much as you want them to. That's a totally understandable position. And I think sometimes when we have those conversations, we forget about the humanity, and sometimes we find the humanity kind of inexcusably, we inexcusably criticize it. And in a way that I don't think we'd ever do if we were talking about something that wasn't sports, but was the same concept.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And it is different when these people are making as much money as they are. Like, you can't really discount that because it's not like they have the financial burden of, oh no, what if I can't afford a house or something like that? But it is still a major life change. I mean, it's everything. And that's also why some had speculated about the idea of Durant signing a 1+1 somewhere else and then possibly changing teams again. And it's like, that's not going to happen. If he leaves, he's going to go somewhere for at least a couple of years to really give that a fair shot. And on the human element, an underappreciated part of that is also the way that it affects more on the margins. And the best example for me of that is LeBron with Mike Miller. I will, for the rest of my life, believe that Miami using the amnesty provision on Mike Miller was a part of the decision for LeBron to go back to Cleveland. That the idea that ownership was not willing, even though they made the finals every year he was there, that Mickey Arison, with all of his other money, was not willing to pay that for a couple years to keep LeBron happy, I think that bothered him. And it should bother him. And so that is a very human thing. And in the scope of everything, it didn't make the Heat that much worse. It didn't cost them a championship. But it might have opened the door in LeBron's mind for, hey, maybe I should think about something else.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And it also might have encouraged the fact that he wanted to go somewhere where he could have more power and influence within an organization.
Yeah.
I mean, people talk about him going home to Cleveland, and I'm sure that was part of the influence and part of the attraction for him. But we know that there are other reasons he went to Cleveland, and part of it was just because he could have more impact inside the decision making in that organization than he could in Miami, and that could have started with that Mike Miller transaction. I mean, that was a big deal when they amnestied Miller.
It was, and that's just the nature of these things, is that it can be something small. I mean, everybody can think about their own life and think about how something small or seemingly inconsequential completely changed their life. Like, that's just the way that this works. I mean, for me, that could be the idea of, you know, like, I got rejected by my number one school with college. I wouldn't be a sports writer if I'd gotten in there. You know, like that, like basically a lot of things. And that's just the way that all of this works. And basketball players, I've covered the league now for 7 years. You've covered it for a while as well. When people ask me what that's like, the biggest thing that I tell them is basketball players are people just like everybody else. It's just that they make more money and can do things we can't do. But as human beings, they're almost exactly the same.
Almost exactly the same.
Well, their problems are different.
Some aren't.
Yeah, but that's just like people. Some people are weird. Some people are standoffish. Some people are gregarious. I mean, that's just the way that it is. But they do have different problems, and they do have different lives. I mean, you can think about the idea of just like the way that they do so much in the public eye, but just the way that they see the world and the way that they deal with day-to-day problems, like having kids, trying to, you know, meet members of the gender that they are attracted to, like all that sort of thing. Like, everybody deals with the same basic stuff. They just do it in a slightly different way.
Right. Well, I mean, look, when we talk about the humanity of the sport, it's not just about free agency, right? I mean, people, you know, talk about fill in the blank, any player, so-and-so didn't show up tonight. Why didn't he show up for the big game? Maybe he couldn't sleep. Maybe his kid kept him up. Maybe he wasn't feeling well. You know, there are things that we don't talk about. We talk about sports in such absolutes, right? Like, I think one of the great examples of this was Curry in the playoffs. Oh, Curry didn't play well tonight, so he must have been hurt. Oh, Curry played well tonight, so he must not have been hurt. I mean, you can be slightly hurt. It can go in and out, and that's how you feel. You wake up one morning and you slept on your shoulder funny, and it can be feeling worse when you have a very slight shoulder injury. Or you have very slight knee injury, you have a very, very slight hip injury, or whatever it is, it can feel better and worse on certain days. That's how your body works. That's how people work. You can be feeling worse and better on different days. And our inability to talk about nuance and think just beyond the court sometimes, I think, hurts conversations.
I think it does too. And I think that goes in another direction as well, which is the difference of kind of interpersonal relationships. You can think about, a lot of people think that basketball players' relationships with the other guys in their team, that you, it's like the stuff on the court, you know, X player doesn't pass X player the ball enough, so they must hate each other. And there are a lot of deep friendships that exist kind of outside of that world. And, you know, there are probably enmities too, just based on social interactions and things like that. Maybe somebody said something in passing or whatever. And there is all of this other stuff that is incredibly important. And I mean, we've seen teams implode for things that just never made sense because they weren't made public.
Right. Danny, let's actually get ready to go because we've been going a little while. I'm going to ask you before we go, though, are we hitting up the buffet at Caesars?
I hope so. We better.
Danny and Nate Duncan and I do a Caesars buffet. What is it, three years in a row now?
Last year was my first year, but I think you and Nate have done it longer than that.
Yeah, Nate and I have done it a few years. Nate's great because Nate's so meticulous. He hits up every single section of the buffet and has like a bite from each section. I do it completely. I eat like J.R. Smith plays basketball. I'm a trucker. I'm just going nuts. It's great.
I'm the mix between the two of you where I'm selective, but the things I like, I J.R. Smith those.
Yeah. I just see it and I'm heat checking everything that I see. And then I'm like too full to go to the last like three sections of the buffet. It's great. That's a fun buffet.
It's amazing.
Anything you want to plug before we go?
I actually haven't written a lot. So the Dunked On Basketball podcast, Nate and I do it almost every day. Real Jam Radio is once a week. So that's a little bit more big picture. And then I just write on the Sporting News, Real GM, and The Athletic.
All right. Great. Well, that was Danny LaRue. Before we head out, remember, you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast there. It's Locked On Thunder. If you have any questions, comments, you want to ask something, get in on the show, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. That's @FredKatz. Fred Katz. I can't even say my name now. FREDKATZ. We're going to be back with you for another show. That's Tuesday morning or late Monday night. Hopefully we'll have some amount of Durant news to talk about then, but that's going to do it for today. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.